They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field Show presented by Eastern University. I am Rob Motti, and we are back together again.
Doug
Horton
and
Pastor Kyle Horner, first time in a month. Pastor Kyle, hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, thanks, bro. Appreciate it, buddy.
Doug, we're praying for you, man, and praying for your family. I know it's a tough situation for you guys, and if you want to send out your best wishes for Mrs. Kylesidis.
Yeah, my mother-in-law, Susan Kylesidis. So just prayers for her husband, Bob, my wife, my sister-in-law, Ani, as it's just a tough time. And she's getting real close to the point where she's going to get to meet Jesus. And I'll tell you what, when her testimony is phenomenal. At this point, when you're that close and you're ready to go, I think the true nature of what's in your heart really comes out at that point. And she is just full of love and thankfulness to God. A lot of glory be to God. And my wife, my sister-in-law, my father-in-law, Bob, are just phenomenal at this point. So I'm just trying to be there as much as possible for them. But I appreciate all the prayers and everybody that's been reaching out to us. So thank you.
It's a tough thing to go through. And tonight what we're going to do is, because it is Thanksgiving week, we're going to talk about being thankful. But we're going to talk about being thankful for everything and being thankful through the storm.
Yeah.
And that is a storm that you guys are going through in your life. Our guest is going to be one of the best special teams players in the NFL from the 9-1 Philadelphia Eagles. He is their special teams captain, Chris Maragos, and we will talk to him next segment. Chris is injured. He's on injured reserve right now, and he is nice enough to join us live, and we'll hear from him in the next segment. But it is Thanksgiving week, guys, so we're going to talk about being thankful and thankful for everything. Thankful for things that we take for granted. Thankful for the little things. Thankful for the big things. Thankful for the good times. Thankful for the bad times, too. And I always like to say this, when I start out my day, when I start out my prayers in the morning, at night, sometimes in the middle of the day, I always like to say, dear God, before I ask you for anything, I want to thank you for everything. I don't know where I saw that, but wherever I saw it, I took it, I loved it, and I use it all the time, because we live in an age of accumulation. I want. Give me more. I want more money. I want a bigger house. I want a better job. I want a nicer car. I want this. I want that. But what are we being thankful for? Why don't we be thankful? Take a step back and say, I'm thankful for the job that I currently have because it pays my bills. Or I'm thankful for the roof that's over my head now because it gives me a place and gives my family a place to be. Or be thankful for the car that you have that gets you to where you have to go. So do we thank God when we wake up in the morning just for simply waking up? Because you take that for granted and you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So I think thank you, Lord, is a term that can never be overused. We can never thank our Savior enough, not just for everything that we have, the things that we recognize and the things that we take for granted and don't appreciate, but also thank him for paying the ultimate price, and that's taking the cross for us.
Yeah, you know, Phil Moser, who's been on our show plenty of times, he always starts off with a PRAY acronym, and the very first thing we should do is praise.
Praise, yep.
You know, so it's just a really good thing to do. I actually heard a quote the other day that said, if your prayers are changing the lives of other people, as opposed to just yourself, then you're doing it the right way.
Well,
right? And I think too many times maybe we're praying for requests. And, you know, a lot of guys have come on the show and they talked about just praying for their success. And, you know, I'm going to pray that God gets me through this game, keeps me healthy, maybe pray for a win. And it's all about my success. It's all about what I'm doing. But if you're really praying for other people and being selfless in that aspect, and obviously we could pray for our own requests and things. But, you know, how much of your prayer life is covered in yourself versus other people?
Yeah, I always think that Thanksgiving is it's a heart issue, isn't it? I mean, it's just really recognizing that the Lord's mercies are new every morning, that we don't really deserve anything. All good gifts come from above, that you know, Jesus said, none are good, no, not one, except for the Father who's in heaven. And so anything that we have, the time that we have, the family that we have, the very breath that we have is a gift from God. I love that moment where, and I know we've probably talked about it before on the show, but I love it when Jesus is going to feed the 5,000, mm-hmm. and the little boy gives him a snack pack, right? He gives him his five loaves and two fish, and which is, you know, in the middle of
it, little combo
is,
meal,
right? Which is nuts, right?
One combo meal.
He steals the guy's dollar menu lunch, and no, it takes it. It's just so cool. And in the big picture, it doesn't look like it's anything that could actually make a difference. And yet, his first thing was he gave thanks. And then out of the giving thanks, there was multiplication that happened. And he didn't give thanks after the multiplication happened. He gave thanks for the little that he had, trusting that the Father would actually do something greater with it.
You know, as I kept thinking about the topic, it's more of an action, and it is a reflection of the heart, but it's not a feeling. And a lot of times talked about love being a feeling, or not being a feeling, but it's something that actually you do. And a lot of times we may not be thankful. You know, Rob, you're talking about being thankful in a storm, like, you know, going through different difficulties in my own life, I didn't really feel like being thankful sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the discipline, part of the process, is really just working to be thankful in whatever state you're in, too.
I want to give you a little example about that, because that's the tough times. That's when it's hard. It's easy to give thanks to the Lord when life is great, right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But praising God in tough times and praising him through the trials and praising him through the adversity, I think that's what shows an incredible amount of faith. In the book of Acts, we read about the disciple Stephen, and he's a martyr. And if you read it, before he's stoned, when he's confronted, it says in there, I think it was Acts 5:15, somewhere like, and it says his face was shining like an angel.
Yeah.
So can you imagine knowing you're about to die?
Yeah.
You're about to be viciously murdered, yet he was so full of the Holy Spirit and so at peace with his eternal destination that he was shining like an angel. And then as they're stoning him, he cries out, "Lord, do not hold this against them." So we go through trials and we go through tough times and we go through terrible hardships, whether it's the loss of a loved one, diseases, illnesses. And Stephen, I think, sets this incredible example for us that we can all accept it happily if we're filled with the Spirit, if we know our destination is the heavenly kingdom. So knowing that when we face far less trials and far less tribulations, we could stand strong in the eye of the storm and give thanks to God, for he'll comfort us, he'll lead us, and he'll guide us through it if we turn to him, if we completely give it all to him.
You know, one of our former guests, Levi Lusco, pastor out in Montana, yeah. Right? So, you know, reading his book, it's all about the lens.
Did you get through it? Did you get through the whole thing?
I can't get through it, man. I'm still stuck on chapter 3. So, you know, it's one of those things.
Of course.
That's the toughest one.
It's
the hardest thing, man. So, if you don't know about Levi's story, he lost his 5-year-old daughter, Lenya, right before Christmas, five days before Christmas. And going through a similar tragedy in my own life, losing my son. It's all about the perspective. It's all about the lens that we're looking through. And so sometimes we're not wearing the right glasses, right? I mean, so you're looking at things and we have a selfish perspective or we have a worldly perspective. And so we're really missing out on what God has for us just because we're not looking in the right direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's really telling that the very first thing that God taught, the very first lesson God taught his people when they came into the promised land was that they ran into Jericho, right? They ran into this gigantic obstacle that they can't overcome on their own. And the very first lesson he teaches them is that praise actually tears down the barriers of obstacles that would bar us from really the promised land living of God. So, it's not just about the good things God has for us or the prosperity that waits for us. It really is the very fact, the very first lesson he teaches them is, hey, praise makes a difference. How do you see things? Is that obstacle too big for your life? Is the enemy greater than our God? And it is it's the changing of perspective. I love, Rob, what you just said about Stephen. At the end of that moment, which is really an amazing statement, Stephen actually says, "Behold, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty."
There's some good glasses, man.
Come on. I mean, the perspective that he had. Now, when you understand that, that's the only time in the Bible that the Bible actually says after Jesus' resurrection that he's not sitting at the right hand of God, the Father. That's the life that Jesus stands up for. It's the standing ovation of heaven. And it's really
this
changing perspective I'm going through this hardship. However, in the midst of it, I can see God differently. And I know, Doug, you've, in the stuff that you and Chris have gone through, Although, you know, you wouldn't wish that on anyone. You've seen God differently. You have a different perspective of God, maybe than you did before some of the things that you've gone through.
Well, I think different levels of suffering, different levels of trials and tribulations give you different perspectives.
Yeah.
And some give you a much deeper perspective than others. You know, we were talking about losing and failure. And, you know, we learn more from our failures than we ever do from our successes.
Absolutely.
You know, and so if you're able to find thankfulness and praise in the midst of problems, in the middle of a loss, it gives you the right perspective.
Yeah, and what giving thanks does, I think, during the tough times, when you're able to give thanks, there's so many things that you can learn from it. But one, it could strengthen your dependence on God. It can provide you, and in your case it did that, it can provide you a testimony. When you're giving thanks in the tough times, it provides you a testimony to share. And it also can help you mature and grow in your walk. And that's just three of the things that, that being able to give thanks in those tough times can do for you. When you're able to be able to have a share that testimony and just think about all the lives that you can potentially change through that tough moment, through whatever it is that you're going through, it's so incredibly difficult to be able to embrace that and be like, well, thank you, God, for this horrible tragedy. It's hard. I can understand that. But then when you're 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the line, you know, we could talk a little bit about this, Doug. I don't know if this show would be here right now if it weren't for Luke. I don't know that.
I've thought about it.
You know, I don't know that that may have happened because I had the idea. Pastor Kyle planted this. You know, planted that seed. Then I had the idea. Then I came to you. But why did I come to you? Why did I come? I could have gone to 35,000 other people, right?
Yep.
But I went to Doug with the idea for this show because of Luke, because of our crusade 2 years ago when we were out there. Where were we? Michigan? Ohio?
Ohio,
I don't even remember
yeah.
where mm-hmm. we were. We were somewhere out there. And I heard you speak about it. And I heard the passion. And I heard the lives that were transformed in that prison. Those inmates who were in tears sitting next to me and you're just your eloquence delivering that. I don't know that this, you know, and it's difficult and we're never going to be able to know those answers. As Levi told us when he was on, he never even asked for an answer about Lenya. Why? Because why would you want to know? And it's not going to change anything,
right?
You know, but those are some of the things that you could look back on and be like, if that's what God's plan was, He gave his son to save the entire world. How many of us would give our child? That's an incredibly difficult thing to do, right?
Yeah, and you know, we have all these guys that come on and share their testimonies, and a lot of it is surrounding some sort of injury. You know,
yes.
we talk a lot
yeah,
about
right.
sports, and
exactly
you know,
right.
our guest tonight, Chris Maragos,
and that's why we have
going
Chris
through it.
On.
Yeah, yeah
right. he's going through that storm of watching his team be the number one seed in the NFC, number one team in the NFL, potentially on the verge of going to the Super Bowl, and Chris can't be part of it, and he's got to stand there on the sideline.
Yeah, and I think they all go through different levels, whether it's an injury, whether it's being traded. You know, we've talked with Jenmar Gomez, who was traded a couple different times.
Jordan Matthews.
Jordan
Matthews.
Yep.
Traded 2 weeks before the season or 3 weeks before the season and misses out on that brotherhood.
Yeah, and or you know, go back to Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Ends up going to jail. You know, and God can use a multitude of ways to get our attention. You know, and it really is those life-changing situations that really draw us closer. And I think Pastor Phil kind of alluded to this when we did our Carson Wentz show at Eastern, and we were just talking about why do bad things happen.
Yeah, right? That's right.
And, you know, for the believer, it's meant to draw you closer to God. But for the non-believer, it's to really take away all other options except that God exists.
That's right. Yeah, my grandma, you know, my grandma old school would always say, baby, your test becomes your testimony. Baby, your test becomes your testimony. And I think that's absolutely
nice,
right.
That's
your
good.
Mess
good
becomes
right
your message,
that's
right?
Good. That's right. Your mess becomes your message. And I think we see that all through the Bible, don't we? And all through our lives. There's this powerful moment in Acts 16 where Paul and Silas are thrown in jail. For not doing anything wrong, just for preaching the gospel of Christ. And in the middle of the night, they've been beaten, they've been chained. You know, in the middle of the night, the first thing they do is begin to praise God. And in the midst of that moment when they're praising God, God shows up in such a powerful way that he releases them from prison in a supernatural means. And that actually changes. It causes this revival to happen in the church. It causes revival to happen in the city. Because, their first response to their pressure The first response to the pressure of life was, I'm going to praise God because my hope is not for something. My hope is in someone.
Yeah.
And I think that's where we get really messed up a lot of times, Rob, to be honest. I think as Christians, we can get discouraged. We can become disillusioned because so often we have expectation of what God should do for us or in that moment, rather than have an expectancy of simply who he is. And so often we hope for God to do something, but the Bible talks time and time again of my hope is in the Lord. My hope is in Jesus. It's in the goodness of my God. It's in the faithfulness of my God that he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me, regardless of whether he releases me from prison or actually changes me while I'm in prison. We leave that up to him. So the hope, the expectation isn't that God's going to get me out. The expectancy is that God's going to do work all things together for my good.
Romans 8:28.
Come on, even when it doesn't feel good,
yep.
when it doesn't look good to us, I have to trust my hope is in him, that he's working everything out for my good.
Let's be real. I mean, like, you need to start to have that perspective and start the training before something happens. Sometimes we get it during the middle of a tragedy, and, you know, God uses that to change somebody's heart. But for the believer now, understand that God at some point is probably going to bring some sort of difficulty into your life that you're going to need to respond to.
Yeah, and I think that's not even God. Sometimes it's just life.
Yeah,
it's just life happens.
You
right?
bring it on yourself
yeah, I mean,
with stupid decisions.
Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. So there's even times that we make ourselves sick for things that we've hoped for that haven't come, whether they be good, bad, or otherwise, and yet then we face this situation where we're disillusioned.
I just found that personally that I had grown up in a Christian home, going to Christian church, grew up my whole life going to Eastern University for college.
That's right.
So also
go Eastern.
So go Eagles. You know, but when you get to that point, you're stuck, and you're like, I need to make a decision. Do I trust everything I've ever believed, all my training, all the preaching, all the scripture that I've read? Do I put it into practice or do I forsake it?
Wow.
Right? And that's really what it comes down to. And what are you going to do when the storm comes? Are you going to cling to everything that you found to be secure and see the right perspective, or are you just going to throw your hands up and try and find, you know, strengthen yourself potentially?
I love what Job says. You know, I don't think anybody has had faced a more difficult circumstance maybe than Job, right?
Yeah.
But Job says in Job 13:15, he says, "Though he slay me, I still put my hope in him. Though he slay me." So my hope isn't based on my circumstance or my situation. My hope is based on the goodness and the unconditional love of my God.
He's the ultimate example, isn't he?
Ultimate example.
And he also said the Lord gave
and he taketh away.
And the Lord has taken away. Yep. But then we always say that part, right? But then the very next line is, may the name of the Lord be praised.
And
absolutely that goes back to what you just said two minutes ago, Doug. It's about, this is a show, Faith on the Field show on a sports radio station. Doing things in sports and being good at them takes repetition, takes practice. Being a believer who can weather the storm and live through the eye of the storm takes repetition and praising God through all the moments of your life. And the more you do it, the more you're prepared when that horrible thing happens to you.
Rob, I'm going to tell you a quick story that goes right along with that verse and that concept. Was a show that my family has watched in the past is 19 and Counting, the Duggars. You know, you ever see the Duggars? It's a family that has like a huge amount of kids, right? They have like 19 kids.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, Rob, you wouldn't know
anything about that. I don't watch it.
So long story short, basically the mother had a miscarriage, and so she gave birth to the child, and it was not alive at that point.
Stillborn,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So she sits there, and on camera she says, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And I remember Chris sitting there one time, and she goes, "Wow, I don't know if I could ever say that." Fast forward, Chris is sitting in the emergency room holding Luke, and she goes, "All I do is I go back to that show when she said that," and she goes, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away." Wow. And in tears, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Wow.
So God puts those thoughts in your head, and how do you cling to those and how do you move forward? But you can turn around and curse God, or you can praise God, and it doesn't make it better, but it's the way to go.
Cursing God will never work out for you no matter what.
No
matter what you think, going that route will never end up in your favor. And this kind of puts things in perspective, because in a few minutes we're going to talk to Chris Maragos, who's dealing with a season-ending injury.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Chris, 4 days later, after he suffers that season-ending injury, welcomes a baby, another child, to the world. So we'll talk to him when we come back. You are listening to Faith on the Field show, presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
MedCorp's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists is a privately owned group located in Turnersville and Linwood, New Jersey. Online, they are MedCorpUSA.com. Dr. Sylvie and his staff can diagnose and treat disorders of the lungs. Asthma, especially asthma caused by allergies, COPD, chronic bronchitis, pneumonia, pulmonary hypertension, shortness of breath, and chronic cough. They also treat sleep problems like restless leg syndrome and sleep apnea. Treating sleep apnea has become a huge part of their practice. They have 10 home sleep tests that test for sleep apnea. Testing is recommended if some of the following pertain to you. Someone has told you that you stop breathing while you sleep. You snore loudly and frequently. You wake up choking or gasping. You wake up with headaches, sore throat, or dry mouth. You experience insomnia, unrefreshing sleep, daytime sleepiness or fatigue, difficulty concentrating, memory loss, irritability. You are drowsy while you are driving. You are frequently waking up to use a bathroom. You have a large neck size, 17 inches for men and 16 inches for women. You have a family history of sleep apnea. Call MedCorp's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists at 856-352-6572. That's for their Turnersville office, and 609-788-8953 for their Linwood office.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And we are joined now by one of the best special teams players in the NFL, the special teams captain for the number one team in the NFC, in the NFL, the 9-1 Philadelphia Eagles, Chris Maragos. Chris, hey man, it is great to have you on Faith on a Field show. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Ghost.
What's up, bro? How we doing?
We're gonna have a lot of that going back and forth right now, right?
I love it.
Love this guy.
Chris, first of all, we got to say congratulations, man, on the birth of your baby girl last month. And we've been...
Thanks.
We're talking about giving thanks for everything, right? We're talking about giving thanks. And there's tons, right, for you to be thankful for in that miracle of childbirth. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yep. Oh, man. I mean, you know, just to experience it. And I mean, just to see how God is just in the inner workings of everything. And, you know, so often, you know, we look at our circumstances or our situations and, you know, we don't understand why and things. But when you see a birth of a child and you see how God has literally knitted a child in its mother's womb for 9 months and, you know, fingers and toes and eyelashes and, you know, all the little things that come with it, you just sit back and you just stand in awe and just think, wow. You know, we serve a big God, and, you know, to the fact that he would look upon us and that he shows us the love and the grace and attention that he does is humbling, and it really puts a lot of things in perspective. And like you said, you know, it gives us this gratitude to be in those moments and to have the things that we have.
Now, Chris, it's easy to give thanks, right, in the good times when things are going great. But praising God when things go wrong, I think it really shows the depth of our faith. And you suffered a season-ending knee injury. It was a few days before your daughter was born. So you can't be on the field right now during what's turning out to be a very special season for the Eagles. But knowing you, I know you weren't dwelling on the negative aspect of it. How are you able to stay faithful during that rough period rather than some people may get angry at God during that time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll be honest with you. You know, just first off, I mean, it's been challenging. You know, I think, you know, given the circumstances, you know, you pour your whole life's work into, you know, being an NFL player, into getting to these moments, and then, you know, to have an injury that would set you back the way this has, you know, it's definitely disheartening. But I do have a lot of encouragement, and I do have a lot of confidence in this, knowing that I'm right where I need to be. And you know, it's kind of crazy. I was in with the team doctors, and they literally told me, hey, you know, you tore your PCL and you're out for the year, and it's going to be a 9-month recovery, and, you know, this, that, and the next thing. And I literally left out of the doctor's office right there at the facility. And then all of a sudden I get a call from the assistant to the player's assistant, Miss Kathy. And she goes, hey, your wife's trying to get a hold of you. She's going to go in for labor for a child.
Oh, my goodness.
So I literally got the worst news and the best news all within like 15 minutes. So
come on.
I'm like, man, God, you know how to kind of, you know, make this the right way. But yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it's the thing that I think that God is so gracious in is that he gives us a lot of things, you know, to get through the difficulties. You know, one, I think most importantly is he gives us his word, you know, which guides us, which gives us the truth and the substance of our being. And it really gives us our guiding lamp in terms of how we're trying to navigate through life. And then, you know, what I've been super grateful for just from a fleshly, just personal level is he gives us great relationships with solid believers and other people who are fighting the fight and walking this walk on a daily basis. And, you know, we got such a great group of guys on our team that have been supporting me and showing love and praying for me and staying in touch and hanging out. And, you know, I'm just so thankful to have those physical encouragements, you know, as you go through tough times.
So, some guys, Chris, when they get injured, they rehab quietly, or they stay away from the team. Sometimes they go back home. They go somewhere else because it's too hard for them to be around. They're not able to play. But you've been there. I've seen you around the facility, rehabbing down there. You're still trying to be that leader, still supporting your teammates, encouraging them. Why is it so important for you to give them what you can from your heart, from your mind, when you can't do it physically?
Yeah, you know, I think it's exactly that. You know, I think for me, it's, you know, always trying to figure out, you know, how can I be used? You know, how can I be faithful, you know, with where I'm at, given my circumstances and my situations? And I look at it, I'm like, man, I can't physically be on the field and be able to give them my body, you know, to be able to fly around and to sacrifice for those guys. But I can sacrifice in so many other ways for these guys. I can give them, you know, what I have and what I've learned mentally. I can give them what I have spiritually. I can, you know, give them all those types of things, you know, where I can hopefully fill in cracks for them and encourage them when they're, you know, need encouragement or, you know, whatever it might be. And so for me, I'm just looking at it going, all right, Lord, like wherever you have me, let me just be faithful within that. Because so often we look at, you know, faithful, you know, success as, you know, doing certain things or certain accomplishments. But I feel like God looks at success as just faithfulness within whatever the platform or whatever the given circumstance he's given you. And, you know, you just have to be faithful, whether that's a little bit or a lot. You just have to be faithful with where he has you in those times and just trust that he knows that he's got you exactly where he wants you.
Yeah, bro, I love the fact that you are continuing to speak life into the team from regardless of whatever position you're in. And, you know, the word of God always tells us that two are better than one. There's great, yeah. There's more return,
sure.
That, you know, this cord of three strands can't be broken. And, I love it. Hey, let me ask you this question. Cause, you know, Chris, I've watched your life, in the midst of all this, and you are such a solid man of faith. And, your family is just, incredible in the way that you lead, and the way that you speak life into them. Even in the midst of this process, what would you say to someone, who is listening tonight, who maybe is going through an uncertain time? Maybe they've had a relationship that hasn't worked out, or maybe their dreams are uncertain at this moment. And they just don't know what to do. What would you tell them tonight?
That's a great question. You know, I would say,
I would say you have to look at the track record of who Jesus is and ask whether or not you can trust in what he says, in what God's word says, and if you can follow that, or take the other side and follow what the world says and see the track record on. Yeah. You put your hope and your faith and your trust in what the world says. And so for me, I look at it and I look at God's word and it hasn't returned void. It's everything that Jesus said he fulfilled and he promised, and everything that he has said will happen has happened and is on its way to happening. And so, you know, for me, I look at it and I go, man, you know, God, you have literally been in every aspect of my life. You have been constantly showing me your truths and your word, and they have continually held up in every single aspect. And so for me, I can trust knowing that, okay, you have me in this dark, you know, difficult circumstance. Well, your word says to consider difficult circumstances and difficult times pure joy, because we know that in those difficult times, you're creating something in me that's going to make me better and stronger and make me complete as a Christian, as a man, as a member of our community, as a member of my house, whatever it might be. And so for me, I have to trust and know that in the good times, yeah, I'll sing your praises, and I know you're there with me in the good times, and we're going to count those blessings and enjoy those. But in the difficult times too, knowing that you're creating something so much and you're teaching me in such a deeper capacity that I can now, you know, go out and serve you and trust you in a deeper capacity. And really, I think that's why the Lord's been so gracious with me during this time with my knee, because there's been so many difficulties throughout my career, and he's literally on a daily basis been so faithful throughout those difficult times where I didn't see the reason why during those times, but I see the reason for him now. And it gives me so much more encouragement and confidence heading through whatever it is that I need to go through.
You know, Chris, you talk about God being there for your whole life as you're going through your career. I was reading a pretty cool story about when you were in high school, and you know, you're talking about a dark time and the kind of God leads you to a better time, and how you switched schools and how you were kind of verbally abused and they were really getting on you. And your first game that you were playing was against your former school. Could you tell us a little bit about that and how that worked out? Because the testimony from your coach, George Machado, was really just about how classy you were and how you handled yourself in that situation. So can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, well, when I came to Christ, you know, I was getting involved in all the wrong things. I was doing drugs, you know, I was vandalizing stuff, almost got expelled from my school district. And that's really when I waved the right flag and said, you know, I can't find this joy in the things of this world. And that's really when I gave my life to Christ. And so that's really when things changed. And then I switched schools going into my senior year. And it was tough. Like you said, I was heaping a lot of, you know, verbal abuse from people on the sidelines, and everybody was upset about it, things like that. But I knew that I had an opportunity to do one of two things. I had an opportunity to either, you know, feed my flesh and, you know, to lash out and however my emotions felt, or I had the opportunity to represent a God who had given me what he had given me and placed me where he had. And trusting in that, I knew that, okay, I'm going to represent him. So whether people are throwing, you know, verbal abuse or hate or whatever it is at you, you know, I have an opportunity to respond in love and in grace and just show them that it's more than that, and, you know, really show them the love of Christ through whatever the circumstance it was that I was in. And it was difficult and tough, but again, you know, just trying to show people that, you know, it's, you know, hey, you know, I got something greater than this, and let me show you what it is, and ultimately let me tell you what it is.
Chris, you were part of a Super Bowl championship team in Seattle, and from Russell Wilson to Rocky Seto, the former defensive assistant coach, there was a real strong group of Christians on that team. How are these Eagles similar in ways, and how are they different? Because there's obviously a strong brotherhood on the Eagles team as well.
Oh, yeah, man. That's been the biggest blessing. I mean, we had a great brotherhood in Seattle. You know, guys love Jesus, you know, passionately, and, you know, guys who were committed to the Lord. And that was the cool thing, is because, you know, you saw guys who were willing to, you know, kind of put that much more into their sport because they knew that they were honoring the Lord through what they had and their gifts and their talents and abilities. And so you saw the sacrifice was probably even greater because they knew they were playing for something greater. And the same thing for here in Philadelphia with the Eagles. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, the list of guys that are in our locker room that are just solid men of the Lord. I mean, these guys are guys who are leaders, the guys who are unashamed of the gospel, guys who love Jesus passionately and deeply and really are walking it on a daily basis. They're not just saying it in interviews. They're not just saying it, you know, when the cameras are on or when there's a, you know, something going on in a publication. You know, these guys are living it out, and it's active and it's real, and, you know, they have strong convictions. And, you know, for me, it's so encouraging because and humbling because I learn so much from these guys, and really it convicts me in my life. It convicts me in my walk to press on, to go further and deeper in my walk and my faith in Christ. And you know, it's just great to have that brotherhood. And so they are very similar, but they are different too, because I would say we probably have probably a little bit more of a brotherhood here in Philly, in terms of the amount of guys that we have, which has been really, really cool.
Yeah. How important, Chris, you know, you just said that, which is, you know, the word of God says iron sharpens iron. And you guys definitely have that going on. How essential have you found it to be in your life, going through the good time and the difficult times, to make sure that you stay close and connected to those relationships that really build you up and not undermine your destiny?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kyle. Man, you know, I'm just having that. You know, I think on a daily basis, you know, the cool thing is when you're in community with other believers and you're in community with people that can sharpen your life, as we were talking about, iron sharpens iron, you know, you can pick up on the things that God has gifted people in such a unique way, and you can help apply those things to your own walk. You can let those things encourage you. You can help those areas of those people's lives, you know, really, really strengthen you. You know, I just think about like for instance, like Carson Wentz, all right? Like the guy is super faithful. He's super faithful to God's word. I mean, he's not missing his devotional. He's not missing what he's doing. Not because he's, you know, in this, you know, like, you know, I got to get it done type of thing. Yeah. But it's because that's just who he is.
It's authentic.
Mm-hmm. It's authentic. And it encourages me where I'm like, all right, I can learn from that and like really apply that to my own walk of just that faithfulness on a daily basis. I look at a guy like a Trey Burton who's, you know, always on the front lines, and he's so black and white, and he's bold about what he's
doing. Yeah, he is.
I mean, you guys that know, I mean, but I'm like, man, this is how I need to be about my faith. I need to be unashamed, and it encourages me, and it sharpens me to add that and to grow in that capacity where maybe I'm weakened, or, you know, Zach Ertz, you know, you just see the wisdom that he has and just the faithfulness and the childlike faith that he has to want to learn and to grow, and, you know, okay, man, how do I have more of that, you know, and so I could go down to each single guy, you know, in our group, you know, and just talk about each one of the things that they have that's a strength of theirs, so that when you're living in community, you know, those things can sharpen you and they can encourage you to be like, all right, you know, this guy is just awesome in this area. How can I apply this to my life? How does this encourage me? You know, how can I point them to Jesus? How can they point me to Jesus? And let's spur each other on here. Let's encourage each other on for the cause of Christ. So that, you know, we can honor him, man, and you know, live this life the way it should be lived, you know?
Chris, it's really tough sometimes for men to hold other men accountable. How important do you think it is when you talk a little bit about guys walking their talk, not just doing it, not just because it's in the spotlight? How important is it for guys when you're in a fraternity, a brotherhood of believers, when you maybe see somebody potentially going down the wrong path, or maybe having an encounter or something that can lead them, and especially when athletes are being pulled in so many directions and you have media coming at you, and a lot of times it's negativity and hate, and maybe it's lashing back out at the media, or maybe just lashing out at people on Twitter or on social media. What do you feel about the accountability factor, and how do you guys take care of that in your locker room?
Yeah, you know, I think accountability is really a love issue. You know, I think, you know, for me, you know, when I look at the love of the Father, right, mm-hmm. and how much he loves me and how he's always constantly, you know, pulling and directing me and you know, making sure that he's kind of staying on that narrow and straight road. You know, I think about us as believers too, is, you know, for me is if I love that guy next to me and I love Jesus as much as I do, you know, ultimately, you know, we want to bring the Lord as much fame and glory as we can. And so, you know, for us, it's holding each other accountable so that, one, we can fulfill our ultimate prize, and that's to worship and bring honor and glory to the Lord. And then, you know, from our own personal walks too, to say, hey, listen, like, I love this guy so much, like, I'm going to talk and be invested in his life, and he might not quite like what I might say. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is that, you know, this is what holding each other accountable looks like, because I love him so much and so deeply to say, all right, listen, man, like, dude, I care about you, to say, hey, listen, we got to get this right, or, you know, whatever it might be. And really that just, it's a way of just constantly, you know, holding each other to a standard that says,
hey, listen, man, you know, we all want to live this life and walk this walk the best way we can. And let's be accountable in each other's life. Let's be living and active. And, you know, might not be the things that we want to hear, but, you know, stuff has to be said and to make sure we're holding each other accountable so that we can press on to the goal, you know, and that's to, you know, be as close and walk as closely with Jesus as we can.
I love that answer.
Ghost, I know you have had so much success on the field, and what you were just talking about is always so important. But maybe even more important than that is the influence and significance you have at home. And I know you're a dad of three now, trying to get some sleep in there, I'm sure, now with an infant is always a challenge. But can you just talk for a moment about how you see your role as a father and how you can significantly influence your family from that place?
Yeah, well, you know, if I neglect my family and I lose my family, I lose everything. And so, you know, for me, it's, you know, I feel like it's great having, like you said, accomplishments, whether that's on the field, off the field, whatever it might be. But I feel like if I look back on my life, the true measure of my faith, success, you know, I would want to look back is hopefully the overall health and integrity of my family. And not to say that I'm responsible for my kids' salvation, because I'm not. Ultimately, the Lord is, really. But that I would lead them in a way that would really make Christ attractive to them, and that I would hopefully make them as less amount of stumbling blocks as I can for them to really see Jesus for who he truly is, because I'm sinful and, you know, I do things that aren't right, and I'm constantly asking for forgiveness on bedtimes a lot of times to my kids, and, you know, hopefully they can see.
I hear you there.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Hey, Chris, one last question before we let you go. You know, we talked a lot about accountability and the brothers that you're walking this journey with. Who do you think in your life has been your biggest mentor to get you where you're at now?
Man, that's a great question. On the team or just in overall in life?
Just overall in life. I mean, you know, just kind of hearing your story, there's so many guys that you've gone through life with and gone through different times with, but who do you think's really shaped you the most to become who you are?
That's a great question. Gosh, man, there's so many people. I hate to leave anybody out, but I'll say this. When I first came to Christ, I was a sophomore in high school, and there's a guy by the name of Wayne Bielgard. He's a pastor of a local church around the area, and he really befriended a bunch of me and my high school buddies who had just came to Christ. We all had made decisions, you know, to follow the Lord, and, you know, he would hold weekly Bible studies at his house. He'd come hang with us. You know, he was really invested in our lives, and really, he showed me what it looked like to walk as Jesus walked, and really for it to be fun and cool, you know, and for me, I'm forever grateful for that, because this guy had so much fun, and we always, you know, had things that was so great. But the reality of it was that he was unashamed of the gospel, and he wouldn't waver on that. And because of that, you know, I really saw what it looked like to walk the walk as a Christian, and what it should look like. And that was really my first example. So my first foundational years as a Christian, my first 3 years of being a Christian, I'm forever grateful for that impact and kind of that foundation that was laid for me from an earthly example of what it looked like to follow Christ. So I'd have to say Wayne Bielgard for sure.
That's awesome.
That is Chris Maragos, Eagles special teams ace. Chris, man, we really appreciate you spending 20 minutes of your night with us, and we wish you a lot of luck and all the blessings in the world, man. As you're coming back from surgery, we know you'll come back 100%. We know you'll be out there, and we'll see you around the team and leading them on and doing whatever you can to help them get to the Super Bowl.
Cool. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate you having
me. You the man, Ghost.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, blessings to you.
You too.
Take care, man. Thank you, Chris Maragos. And so many things he said in there. And one of those Bible verses that he mentioned was from James, when he said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." That is so powerful. And that's what we've been talking about all night long, is giving thanks in the trials and giving thanks in the tribulations. We'll get into that a little bit and some more of the things that Chris said when we come back. You are listening to Faith on the Field show, presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Fall's around the corner, and what a fantastic time with football after church on Sundays and the incredible spectrum of leaves showing off a vibrant display of colors. It's also a perfect time of year to be aware of what your trees are telling you. Did you know that trees can talk to you? Example, if a tree is showing poor growth, it is making you aware that it has impacted soils or it could be suffering from improper planting techniques. Tree Awareness in Swedesboro, New Jersey has a 5-point health and wellness check that can accurately diagnose exactly what your tree is telling you. In this case, it would remedy the situation with root mulching, root invigoration, root pruning, or perhaps even root crown excavation. There's only one way to know for sure what your tree is making you aware of. Call the Tree Awareness experts at 888-429-TREE. That's 888-429-8733 and check them out at treeawareness.com for the life of your trees.
Hey, we get it. You're facing a lot of pressure. You gotta make money. You gotta have a life. You're running your kids everywhere and you have to keep it all together. Easier said than done, right? Well, not necessarily. We're not experts. We just understand the pressures people face, and our resources are here to help. Contact Biblical Strategies for help that can begin to make a real difference. Just go to biblicalstrategies.com, biblicalstrategies.com.
And welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio, Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. In a couple weeks, we're going to have, next week, we'll give you news on where we're moving to as far as time. We're always bouncing around, and we're gonna switch up times a little bit, and we're going to try and encourage people on Sundays, because you're getting right before you get ready to watch football, right before it kicks off at 1 o'clock. How about a little Faith on a Field Show from noon to 1 o'clock? Forget, I don't watch the pregame shows because I'm usually at the game.
Yeah.
But I don't need to see some so-called experts dissecting something or whatever. No. If you want to really get ready for football, you listen to Faith on the Field.
You listen
show.
To it on the way home from church.
You hear Kyle,
Pastor Kyle preach.
You go down to Connect Church, right?
Then on the way home,
9 a.m., 10:30, 9 a.m. in
10:30, 11, yeah.
What time is Philly?
9:11 are Cherry Hill. 10 is Philly, and 10:30 is Randolph. Yeah,
that's the Connect Church. You listen to Kyle.
Kind of crazy.
Live, in person. Then you listen to him on the radio. But we are now in, what, week 31 of Faith on a Field Show. And we talk about being thankful. I'm thankful for this platform. I'm thankful for everyone here at 610 Sports for giving us this opportunity to do the show. Thankful for you, Doug, for Pastor Phil Moser, for Pastor Kyle Horner, for just jumping on board and for teaming up and putting this together. For Ryan Lennox, of course. But
yeah.
Ryan, I was going to get
even
to you.
Even thankful for Ryan.
Man,
that's right.
Even though he's a Giants fan, we won't hold that against him.
Hey, he's wearing his Giants colors real proud tonight after
you know, after that.
That
beat down of the Chiefs.
Andy Reid was 16-1 coming off a bye.
It's just ugly.
Until yesterday against the Giants. But we are in week 31, and if you've missed any of our previous episodes, we've had some incredible shows on here and some really big-name Hall of Fame-type guests.
Thanks to these athletes for coming on.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can catch up on iTunes. Doug, tell them, subscribe to Faith on a Field Show. Download, listen at your convenience. Some of our guests, Clayton Kershaw, Carson Wentz, Jason Tatum from the Celtics, who's really playing well right now.
For 16 in a row tonight.
Is that right? 16
unbelievable.
I didn't believe that when I saw it.
Mike Schmidt, Adam Wainwright, Coach Dabo Sweeney, Deshaun Watson, who's going through the eye of the storm right now as he's recovering from an injury. So many other guys we've had on, including, as you alluded to earlier, Pastor Levi Lusco. Newsboys drummer Duncan Phillips was also on the show. You can follow us, faithonthefieldshow.com, and we're also on Facebook, obviously, for those of you watching us
and now. Instagram and Twitter, don't leave it out.
On Instagram, we're just Faith on the Field, and Twitter, we're just Faith on the Field, because we can't fit all the characters. Doug, you wanted to talk about being thankful in sports, obviously, when you lose, and whether you can be thankful. Tell me, what is your question? Because you sent us this text last night as we're watching the Eagles game.
I think it was at halftime.
Yeah, it was like 9-7, we were losing, and you send this text.
I'm so, like, hey, I'm thinking, the, you know, can you be thankful for a good loss?
I'm stressed out. My wife's praying for me. Like, it's, yeah, and you sent me the text about, is it good to lose?
Can you be, so it was, can you be thankful when you lose?
Yeah.
The way, see, I might look at it differently. I'm highly competitive.
I think we all are.
Incredibly right? competitive. And we've had, you know, I don't know if we had this show completely. We talked about it a little bit before, but, you know, when you're kicking a ball under the fence and throwing your hands up and saying, hey, ground rule double, are you cheating or are you just, is that competitive advantage? Pass to Kyle real quick on that. Guy hits a ball over your head in the outfield. You're playing the outfield. It's not a ground rule double. You kick it under the fence, throw your hand up and say, ground rule double, right? Because you want the guy on first to go back to third rather than score. Is that cheating or is that competitive advantage?
Are you asking Pastor Kyle or or the guy who was a college athlete?
I think anything you do on the field is part of competition. That said,
is holding if you don't get caught?
No.
Is pass interference pass interference if they don't call it?
I think
because there was a lot of that last time.
Oh, yeah. Des Bryant and Jalen Mills.
Yeah, that was pass interference. Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, you know, we had a saying, you know, win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat. I mean, I'm just saying that
sounds
that
like Ric Flair, right?
That may not be the right thing for faith on the field. It's just, yeah. That was at Tennessee. What do you want to tell
me? I believe that you learn things through losses, right? And so maybe down the road you can be thankful, but I don't think it's right. You know, you lose a game and you're like, well, I'm thankful. Hey, I got to play, right? I think when you play a game, you play to win, right? At different levels.
Well, it depends on what level you're on, though.
It does depend.
Because if you're in the NFL and you're getting paid and this is your job, man, win or lose, you're thankful for that platform. You're thankful for that paycheck. You're thankful for the opportunity to live out a childhood dream and provide for your family at a stage on a level where most people are not making a third or a quarter or a fifth or a tenth of what you're making. And, you know, I'm watching a game last night, and I see guys on the Cowboys, and they just got completely embarrassed. They lose 37-9. And here they are after the game. They're smiling. They're laughing. They're exchanging jerseys with former college teammates on the Eagles afterwards. And I know if that was the other way around and it was the Eagles who lost and those guys were doing that, you know what it's like in Philly on a Monday after an Eagles loss,
absolutely.
Right?
You know, we're not thankful. We're not saying we're thankful for the paycheck we're getting. We're talking about just the game. Right, you know, losing and winning.
So there's a difference there.
I think it is. You know, you're getting paid a couple million dollars. I think that changes your perspective a little bit, right?
You know, I do hear that a lot, and on one side, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, that's perspective. But I will tell you, these guys are some of the most competitive people on the planet. They want to win, and when they don't win, they take it seriously. At least I know the Eagles do at this moment. That doesn't mean I think we just have to clarify one thing: you can be disappointed and still thankful. You know, we can be disappointed in our performance. We can be disappointed in the outcome of something and still be grateful and still be thankful for the ability to be able to be involved in that thing.
Now, we only have a couple minutes left, but I'm going to try and fire Rob up real quick. So, you know, there's a lot of discussion in the past, and it's kind of gone away now. But, you know, when they ask Carson Wentz after a win, you're like, hey, how do you feel about this? And he's like, just football.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad, right, that he didn't have that pass. You didn't have that you know, that they're killer mentality.
They're not criticizing
at this
point, so Carson's the MVP now.
Yeah, you don't hear that anymore.
Carson's the MVP now.
Let's just say you and I we all know that they have learned how to say certain right things. Athletes learn how to say right things, okay? So I'm not saying Carson does. I'm saying, you know, athletes have learned how to say right things. And these guys want to win if they are playing darts in the locker room against it. They are playing cards on the bus. They want to win. We were in Haiti, and let's just say that there were some rather competitive games of cards that were going on around. They are competitive. So it's not like, hey, I'm grateful I'm in Haiti. No, if we're playing cards, we're going to win.
So is it not just a matter of being thankful that they're getting to play, but it's just a matter of being thankful for the opportunity, but you know they want to. You want to win at all costs, right?
I think this is what I would say. I think Doug, that when you're a man or woman of faith, faith sets a perspective for you that gives you the perspective that life is bigger than the moment that you're in.
Right.
And so that does not diminish the fire in which we have for a competitive spirit, a competitive nature. You know, my college coach said, when you're mentally or emotionally weak, you turn to one of three things: drugs, alcohol, or Jesus. And his view of Christianity was when you're a Christian, you lose that competitive fire. And I will actually tell you that I think you can become more competitive because you're competing from the right place, and not to gain attention, not to gain approval, not to gain success, but actually from a place that of what we're talking about tonight. I think real thankfulness.
So would you say it's more of a professional Christianity maturity that you start to attain at that point? So you're able to play at a mature level, still separating the right perspective from the ability to handle a win or a loss.
Yeah, I think the presence of God brings the peace of God, and we can never underestimate the presence of God in our life. So wherever the presence of God is, there's fullness of joy. Where the presence of God is, there's the ability to have peace in the midst of of the storm, whether that's a circumstance like you have faced or that Chris is facing, or a momentary loss. And so I think sometimes we misread that. I think as fans, sometimes we misread that and think, oh, these guys are happy with a loss, or they're okay with a loss.
No, but they have the right perspective. And I think oftentimes, and we only have a couple minutes, oftentimes I think the fans don't have that perspective. And I made the mistake of listening to sports radio for about 13 seconds a couple weeks ago, and I heard a fan say, "Life is great. Someone just cut me off right now, but I didn't flip them the finger. I let them go through. And then I saw an old lady carrying groceries, and I opened the door for her because life is great because the Eagles are 8-1. This is when they were 8-1 at the time, not 9-1. And I thought to myself, like, and the host was like, "Oh, yeah, well, it's great." And I thought to myself, how sad is that? Like, how sad is it that your football team has to be 9-1 for you to go open a door for an old lady?
Yeah, if they were 1-8,
were 1-8, would you have had road rage and not just flip the guy off but chase them down?
I think that's what lends to the argument. So is it the fan's perspective or is the player's perspective? And I think those are two different things.
They're worlds apart.
That's
yeah,
true.
I mean, but let's be honest, especially in Philly, sometimes what's going on in the field is life to these to people. People are working 50, 60 hours a week, grinding through. They're looking forward to this one moment, and it is really life or in their perspective, life or death. You know, when I was playing at Tennessee,
only
they
when
had
you're playing the Cowboys and the
no,
and
no,
the
exactly.
Giants,
that's
right?
Why when Rob said they're exchanging jerseys, I'm like, not with the Cowboys. when I was playing in Tennessee, they did a survey on Mondays after the Vols lost that the prison sentences given out by the judges were twice as long for the same crimes as they were when the Vols won. Yeah, and you know, it's a fan's perspective versus an athlete's perspective. Yeah. An athlete looks at this and says, "Man, we lost one game, but we got 15 more."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we're going to have to do a whole show on something like that.
We're coming
that
back
is,
to it.
That is a great topic to touch on, but we are out of time. So it's going to be Thanksgiving. I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. We are thankful to so many people, especially our sponsors, Eastern University, Tree Awareness, Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, Dan Higgins Wood Flooring, Dr. Sylvie and MedCore Asthma and Pulmonary Specialist, Catalyst Outdoor, Pastor Scott Foreman, our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle, our producer, Ryan Lennox, for Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I am Rob Motti reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.